Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. AI in job hunting. Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Rebecca. No, I'm not an AI assistant. I'm the real Rebecca. And today is July 14th. Welcome to the program, and I'm happy to have super user of AI, Eva, back on the program.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Eva. I would love to talk to Eva's AI persona. That would be really interesting. Maybe we should do a program on that. We can have Rebecca's AI talk to Eva's AI.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of worried what the AI might spit out.
I know. You know, previously, a lot of my colleagues, you know, talked about this. Like, we would create agents that sounded like us. So we would create this creative agent that sounded like us, thought like us, and could give advice like us. And we use that a lot, actually, where I used to work. Because I think my previous boss just thought that it would be helpful, you know, to help give advice. If, like, I want to know what would Rebecca tell me in this situation, then I go ask that agent.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and maybe it would be like you because it brings along your thoughts, your history. Yeah, so you'd be surprised at some of the results.
I think it's really, really fascinating, but at the same time, a little bit scary. Because sometimes I'm scared of my real response. Because you know how in real life, like as human beings, we have to temper our real reactions and our emotions so that it's more socially acceptable in the environment we're in. But if I'm very honest to talk to my AI agent, that AI agent is so honest that it will spit out results that maybe will embarrass me.
No filter.
Me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it would be embarrassing. Perhaps the boss writes, so what does Rebecca really think of me?
Yeah.
And then the AI agent will reply what I really think. That's
correct.
A little bit
That's so funny,
scary.
Actually. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's scary. But this is becoming a reality in the workplace. I mean, just the heavy use of AI.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Eva, before we go on further, we're talking a lot about how to use AI for resumes and job hunting and all that. Do you think resumes are a good representation of a person's actual abilities?
My short answer is no.
Yeah, me too.
I think a resume talks a lot about an outcome. It's very result-oriented. You know, for example, led a team to do something, completed something. So it's very outcome and result-oriented, but someone's working ability is very process-oriented. You know, how I deal with my decisions every day, how I actually lead a team in the current, how I solve problems. And you can't see that off a resume because resume talks a lot about results and the past, not the present nor the future.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Like AIs is often, I mean, not AI, resumes in general are often very results oriented. And a lot of times the honest truth, if we're really honest, is most results are not done by one person.
Yeah.
Like here at Studio Classroom, for example, like so much of our work, we're intertwined with other people.
Mm.
Like whether it's in our same department, like even an article that we churn out, right? Like it's not just me writing. I mean, there's editors, there's the artists, layout artists. It's like a group effort.
True.
And then how do I say that I owe 80% of this article belongs to me and 20% belongs to you?
Yeah.
It's really hard because so much of it is group oriented.
True.
So resumes are not always the best indicator, but right now it's still the main way that people land new jobs. Well, let's continue talking about our topic from yesterday where we talk about how AI is being used in resume writing and even more now in interviewing people. Like people getting interviewed are using their AI assistant to respond to interview questions. Now, let's get into our first reading today, and we will be talking about how these job seekers are using AI.
Julie Schweber, Senior HR Knowledge Advisor at the Society for Human Resource Management, SHRM, said employers know that job candidates could be using AI to enhance their resume or cover letter, but they don't want people to misrepresent themselves. It certainly makes sense because you want a candidate that is evolving with the technology and not afraid of technology, she said. Recruiters use AI to generate job descriptions, review or screen candidate searches, automate candidate searches and other tasks, according to Sherm. Using an AI interview or coding assistant could rub some employers the wrong way. But entrepreneurs who created the tools say they're just trying to support job seekers who are navigating a terrible job market. Michael Guan, chief executive and co-founder of Final Round AI, said people's perception of AI is changing, and whoever understands how to use the technology will get an edge. Inspired by the superhero Iron Man, Guan envisions a future where these tools will be even more intuitive. Kaivan Dave, who heads marketing at Final Round AI, said that using an AI interview assistant can help candidates, some who might have language barriers, better articulate their thoughts.
So, Eva, we start off the article with another professional HR person. We have Julie Schweber. She's basically a senior HR advisor, and then she's in some organization. And what does she say about employers?
She said that they know these candidates could be using AI to enhance their resume or cover letter. But most importantly, you know, they don't want people to misrepresent themselves.
So they don't want people to wrongly portray themselves or wrongly represent, basically make false claims about themselves.
Correct.
Okay, so for them, it's okay for you to use AI, but just be honest. And she goes on to say, it makes sense to use AI because this is actually a very important point, because you want a candidate that is evolving with the technology and not afraid of technology.
Yep.
So if that candidate is very proficient with AI, it's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
It means you can use the AI tools. Like,
yep.
It's good to know that Eva can build me an AI agent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's something that's good to know. Okay. So how are recruiters or how are the HR human resources people, how are they using AI now?
Well, they use it to generate job descriptions, review or screen candidate searches. They also automate the searches and do other tasks.
Yeah. So the HR people working in human resources, they're using AI a ton.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of HR roles are now being like the low level or basically getting cut. They don't need so many HR people because AI can do half of it for them.
Correct.
AI can screen. Like, actually, even now, if you go on LinkedIn and you're applying for jobs, a lot of times it will even tell you, the company will even tell you that AI is helping them with the job process.
Which means
it's not a human being looking at your resume.
Correct.
Which actually means that you have to use AI because it's AI evaluating your resume. If you don't use AI, you're actually at a disadvantage.
Correct.
Yes. But, Eva, it goes on to say in the next paragraph, using an AI interview or coding assistant could rub some employees the wrong way. What does that mean?
So to rub somebody the wrong way is to annoy them with some of the things you say or do. And importantly, sometimes you don't know that you do it. You know, you don't intend to do so, but it happens.
And then some people just rub you the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
We use that idiom when it's just like, you and that person, just bad chemistry.
Yeah.
It's like there's nothing wrong with them, but they just rub you the wrong way.
Correct.
Right? Like, for example, sometimes you go out on a date and there's nothing wrong with that guy or that girl.
Yeah.
But they just rub you the wrong way. Like the way they eat, the way they talk,
yeah.
The way they walk.
Correct.
It's just like you can't stand it.
I know.
You know.
It's probably triggering something very internal and deep within you, but you don't know, you know, because
you don't know.
You can't make the connection as yet.
Right. So if somebody rubs you the wrong way, it's not always a bad thing, because I think our bodies, our minds, like we have like boundaries.
Yep.
And we have to decide what's healthy for us, what's not healthy for us. But okay, enough about rubbing someone the wrong way. So the entrepreneurs who create these AI tools for job hunting, they're trying to help job seekers because, well, the job market is pretty terrible right now.
Mm-hmm.
And with the rise of AI, a lot of jobs are just being completely eliminated.
Yep.
They're just not there anymore.
Yeah.
Especially for young people fresh out of college, it's a really bad time for you.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of jobs that are no longer there. And then we go back to final round AI, that startup we talked about yesterday, that helps with the job interviewing AI app. And what does Michael Guan, their CEO, say?
He said that, you know, people's perception of AI is changing, and whoever understands how to use the technology will get an edge.
Yes. So his perspective is, since we have these AI tools, we might as well use it.
Correct. Use it correctly and probably properly. Yeah, that will help, I would say.
It will help. And then he has this great analogy.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he got inspired by Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, well, let's talk about Iron Man.
Uh-huh.
So who is Iron Man?
Well, Iron Man is this superhero, but if I'm not wrong, he actually has no superpowers.
You're right.
Yeah, he is powered by technology.
So he's powered by his Iron Man suit.
I know, yeah.
And this is in the Marvel Universe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Marvel Universe. And, oh, he's so handsome. Robert Downey Jr. Now, that really dates me because you're probably over 40. Okay, or 35. Robert Downey Jr., he plays Iron Man. And Iron Man, and like the other superheroes, if he doesn't have his suit, he's just a normal guy.
He is,
He's a smart guy, but he's just a normal guy.
Yeah.
And then he puts on his iron suit and suddenly he can fly.
Yeah, he can shoot lasers.
Like he can do all the crazy stuff. But the key is he needs the Iron Man suit.
Correct.
And then so here, Guan is saying that basically he envisions a future where we are all wearing Iron Man suits.
Yeah.
But we're not actually wearing physical suits. We're basically empowered by AI.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like the laptop. In the old days, the laptops, like it would say Intel inside for the chip.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's basically it's like AI inside.
Yeah.
Or AI on top of who we are.
It's true. It's
so
true.
That's what he envisions. He envisions a future where these tools are even more intuitive. Oh, I love the word intuitive. What does intuitive mean?
Intuitive is used to describe something that is easy to use, easy to understand. And I love this analogy that he uses because it's true. You know, the only way Iron Man is amazing is because he knows how to use his brain. He knows how to use technology.
Yes.
And that's how he gets his superpower.
So, yes.
You know, as compared to someone in today, if you know how to use AI, you know how to use it to supercharge you, then of course you will be better. You will fly, you know. You will have laser powers and you will get that job or whatever you need to do.
Yes, but the key is you have to master the technology.
Yeah.
And I think one thing of Iron Man, if you watch all those Marvel movies, Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, like, is he continues to evolve.
Yeah.
Like, he evolves with the technology. Like, he doesn't have one Iron Man suit. There's, like, the old suit, and then he has the newer suit, and then he has the newest suit. He's always upping his tech skills.
Yeah.
Because with every suit, he is progression. He's making progression in technology. He's adapting for the future. And he's trying to stay ahead of the future. Now, I don't know if we can always stay ahead of the future, but at least we can try to keep up.
Yeah.
So our technology skills need to keep being updated, keep getting better. And I think that's really important for all of us who are in the workplace right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for us in a media company, it's absolutely vital. If we want to keep our jobs, we have to adapt with the technology. And then we also come up with another person from his company, Kaivan Dave. What a funny name. Okay,
yeah.
Kaivan Dave. This person, Kaivan, he or she heads marketing at Final Round AI. And what does he say?
Well, they say that using this interview assistance can help candidates, especially those with language barriers, because it can help them better articulate their thoughts.
Yeah, it's pretty really cool. Interesting he points out those people with language barriers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think what it's trying to say is now with, you know, the heavy use of AI, you might find someone who's really, really good in a certain skill, but they're not from your country.
Yeah.
They can't speak your language.
Correct.
But
or
you
they
can
don't
still
speak
hire
well.
Them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really interesting.
Correct. Because maybe they have the skill, it's just that they don't know how to talk about it well. And the assistant can maybe help, you know, just have that conversation with them first to prep for it.
Right.
And to put them in a better light, I would say.
Yeah, that's very possible. Well, let's get into our second reading where we're going to talk about some of the downsides of using AI for job interviews. So let's get into our second reading.
No. no one knows what to do. Using an AI interview assistant still doesn't fly with some recruiters. Lindsay Oak, a San Diego resident who recruits for tech nonprofits, said she suspected a candidate interviewing for a relationship-building role was reading AI-generated answers because of their speech patterns and pauses. Using AI to help prepare for interview questions is fine, but reading off a screen with interview responses is a total breach of trust and a big no-no for me, she said. Although she has nothing against the use of AI, Oak said the ones who are using it successfully are not relying on technology to replace critical thinking. We're in the wild west of AI, where it's like no one knows what to do, and everyone's just doing anything, she said. I think that it will eventually be refined. For now, nothing beats a response that feels personal.
Well, Eva, we talked about some of those startups that are helping job seekers by making AI tools to help them in the interview process, to help them write resumes. But sometimes the AI interview assistant doesn't fly with some recruiters. Yeah. What does doesn't fly with mean?
Well, doesn't fly with just means something that I don't agree with, you know, or something that I feel is not appropriate.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
So usually we use this at work when we're talking about that plan won't fly with your manager. So we use that a lot in work, you know. So if something doesn't fly, it just means it's not acceptable, it's not okay, it's not allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so some recruiters, we talk about recruiters being those people who go out and recruit, the human resources people who recruit candidates, they don't want you to use the AI interview assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about some of these recruiters. The first one we have is someone called Lindsay Oak. So what does Lindsay Oak say?
Well, she specifically recruits for tech nonprofits, and she suspected that someone was using the AI-generated answers for a relationship-building role because of the way they was talking, you know, the speech patterns, the pauses. Probably sounded very robotic, I can imagine.
Yeah. And maybe because when you're reading something, you break at weird places.
Correct, because you're waiting for it to kind of like generate.
Yeah, and you're waiting for it to maybe come up with the next sentence.
Correct.
So if you're reading too quickly, maybe AI hasn't written your next sentence yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so okay, she doesn't like the AI-generated answers. Mm-hmm. And then she goes on to say, it's not just she doesn't like it, she gives good reasons for it. What did she say?
Well, she says that if you prepare beforehand, you know, for the interview questions, you know, that's fine. But if you read it off a screen, it's a total breach of trust and a big no-no for her.
So a breach of trust. When we talk about a breach, it's almost like, I think it's a military term originally. When, for example, you have a wall and then you have a small hole somewhere
in
the
wall. Yeah, like a gap.
And that gap is the breach. So when we talk about a breach of trust, it's basically someone has failed to do something that you have trusted them with.
Yeah.
A lot of times this is to do with money, right? Because like, you know, people are greedy and there's a lot of, you know, and savvy people in a company who might try to steal the company's money.
Yeah.
So a lot of times it's to do with money or usually with money, but it can be other things.
Yeah.
So a breach of trust. So she says that when someone uses an AI assistant for interview, it's a complete breach of trust because you trust that person to be them.
Yeah.
But it's not them. It's them supercharged by the AI assistant.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm also thinking, is it because maybe they ask questions that are could be quite confidential? For example, you know, I ask you a question for a problem that is very specific to my company.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get an AI assistant to hear it and read it and answer it, maybe that's like a leak of information. I'm just assuming that's also possible.
It's also, there is a lot of privacy concerns too, right? Because when you're using an AI assistant, the AI assistant is recording everything you're saying.
Correct.
And they're feeding it back into that app.
Yeah.
Back into the back end of that app.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be worrying. Like that really is, could be a big worry. Oak says that although she has nothing against the use of AI, she said the ones that she's talking about, the candidates who are using it successfully, are not relying on technology to replace critical thinking.
Yeah.
You know, this is so important.
Yeah.
Because so many people using AI right now. They're basically outsourcing their brain.
Correct.
You're getting AI to think for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you ever outsource your brain, Eva?
I would say low-level tasks for sure. Things that like admin, planning a trip, you know, things like that. Or things that I might not be good at, for sure. Because instead of asking a friend or instead of asking a professional, I am so-called asking a group of professionals, because that's what AI is. It is a group think of something collected from all the information that is on the internet and grouping it together and putting its own opinion on it. So instead of asking or paying someone for it, yeah, sure, let me just ask AI. So I do a lot of that kind of stuff.
I also know I'm outsourcing a lot of my creative thinking to AI these days. Like, I'm just throwing it into ChatGPT or Gemini and asking them to think of, like, topic ideas, for example. They give such good topic ideas.
They do.
It's not even funny. Generate me 30 more topics on this.
I know.
And it comes out with this gorgeous list.
Yeah.
And then you just write prompt next, give me all the links.
Yeah.
And it gives you immediately. I was like, how did we live before we had these tools?
We would have taken like 3 days, but it comes in like 30 seconds.
Yes.
This is scary.
But the downside is sometimes we rely on AI too much that we stop thinking.
I know.
And we don't write either. We don't write very well.
Yeah.
Like, I find my writing skills have decreased because I'm relying a lot on AI to help me write. Like AI plus me.
Mm-hmm.
But so this is important to note that we can't replace our critical thinking.
Yeah.
And I think this is also for some of you listening out there. I know we have a lot of teachers who listen to our program. This is really important. Like, you have to make sure your students still learn those critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
Like, they cannot, you know, like, lose their critical thinking skills. There's nothing wrong with using technology.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with wearing your Iron Man suit. Iron Man, or the person who is Iron Man, like, he still has a brain.
Yeah.
He's the one inventing those suits.
Mm-hmm.
So if he loses his ability to think, he's not able to invent those suits anymore.
Yep.
So we can't lose our critical thinking skills. And then, Eva, let's talk more about Miss Oak. And Miss Oak goes on to say, we're in the Wild West of AI.
Yeah.
And why does she use Wild West to talk about the stage of AI we're in right now?
Okay, because the Wild West is, you know, a situation, it's an idiom, you know, to describe a situation where there are no established laws or regulations.
Mm.
And I think that's the state of AI today, you know, where it's so new, people don't know where is that line to be drawn, you know, it's always a gray area. Am I allowed to use this image? You know, why get into trouble? Is it okay for me to say this or publish it? Because no one really has set up laws, you know, or a legal system for AI, I would say.
Yeah, it's moving at such a fast pace that the laws are not able to keep up.
Yeah.
So, and so we call it the Wild West, and it's a really good idiom. This idiom comes from the States, because in the U.S., back in the 1800s, like, basically anything west of the Mississippi River was considered the West. And then that was an area of just indigenous peoples and just, like, wild. It wasn't tamed. It wasn't inhabited by a lot of people yet. And then so, you know, over time, as the U.S., through some acquisitions, they purchased through the Louisiana Purchase and some other purchases, they started buying up land in the West. And then there are also some very bad history where they moved the indigenous people away from their lands. And then these settlers, they moved west. So that's where we get the term the Wild West. And the AI world right now is a Wild West. Everything is happening so fast. Eva, have you heard that the AI, like, even the AI agents, they have their own social media platform?
No, I have not, actually.
It's really crazy. There's a platform called, I think it's called Open Claw.
Wow.
Open, and then C-L-A-W.
Uh-huh.
And Open Claw is a platform for the AI agents to talk to each other.
Oh, wow.
And humans are not allowed.
It's so funny.
No, it's really funny and really scary at the same time. Like, what if they're talking about how to overthrow us human masters?
I know. How to, like, come into our rooms at night and
kill us.
Yeah, wow.
Okay, we're getting a little bit off our article now, but it is, like, it's evolving so fast. The world of AI is evolving so fast.
Yeah.
So as it evolves, we'll have to learn how to deal with it. And whether you are a job hunter or you're a recruiter, we'll also have to learn how to work with it.
Yeah.
And what things to do with it that is ethical and moral, and what is like really no-nos.
Yeah.
You know, like we all have to draw that line somewhere.
Correct.
But I think at the end of this program, I think we're not trying to tell you not to use AI.
Correct.
That's not our goal.
Yeah.
So Eva, what would be your takeaway from today's article?
I would say, you know, use AI because it's always good to learn something that is new, something that, you know, everyone is also, you know, trying to get their hands and minds on, but also learn how best it can serve your purpose. And don't forget to, through it all, still remain human and practice critical thinking. Like know for yourself, you know, how much do I want to use it and how far I want to take it and not how far it can take me.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think like what we have seen through the article, like, you know, critical thinking is really the thing that sets us apart.
Yes.
And I would say, you know, AI is very result and answer focused.
Yes.
But we humans are the ones who give the prompts, give the questions. And I think that's what makes us different from robots, because the future is how we see of it and the questions that we ask. And it is still us asking the questions. So I think that's where our intelligence puts us differently. You know, you ask follow-up questions, you ask to refine it, you ask it to make comparisons and differences. So I hope we never lose that spark, you know, of curiosity and like
yes.
asking questions and settling, you know, because I think that's what AI does. It just gives you answers and it just settles for what everything is right.
Yes, that's a really good point. So we have to master the AI.
Yes.
We can't let AI master us,
because
it's very easy to outsource our brain, outsource everything to AI, and then just be lazy.
Yeah.
But that should not be our end goal. Our end goal is we should be using AI as a tool. Just like Iron Man, his suit is just a tool to accomplish his purpose.
Yeah.
But he is still the one inventing the suit. He is the one still deciding when to put on the suit.
Yep.
You know, like that's really important. So the Iron Man metaphor, I think, is very good. But just remember, we are masters of AI. Don't let AI master the human race.
Yep.
And on that note, we have to end today's program. And I'm Rebecca.
I'm Eva.
Saying bye-bye.
See you.